relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
The best laid plans, I guess, you know what I mean? It's life, you gotta stay semper gumby. We had booked Marjorie Taylor Greene in studio, then she had to change it to phone line, and now we know why. She's just texted me, the Democrats must be really afraid of strong women. Fox News is reporting that the Democrats are going to introduce a resolution tomorrow, that is Friday, to expel freshman Congresswoman Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. The resolution is privileged. That means it can come up at any time, potentially as early as tomorrow. Why would they do that? Well, because she's a fighter and she loves this country. And she is gracing us with her presence right now. Now, that's what I call timing. Congresswoman Taylor Greene, welcome back to America First.
Hi, Sebastian. I'm so happy I could call in. It's been quite a day.
Yes. So why are they so afraid of you? What did you do wrong now? Did you kiss the American flag? Did you stand on the border and make sure we're safe? I need to know, why are you such a threat to the Democrat Party that won the election?
Well, apparently, using floor procedure that any member of Congress can do is a scary thing, because you're forcing everyone, when I call for a roll call vote, instead of allowing something to pass by voice where members of Congress are simply saying yay and nay, this must be the scariest thing ever for Congress, and Democrats and Republicans alike don't like it.
So explain, we have 3 million listeners and then everybody else is watching on YouTube and everywhere, and behave! Because last time you got us suspended for 2 weeks when you dared to question the results of the last election. How dare you do that? So explain to those who don't live in the swamp, don't know the arcane rules of what goes on in Capitol Hill. What is the difference between the way the Democrats want to vote and what you're calling for? And why is it so threatening? So explain the roll call and voice vote discrepancy.
Okay, absolutely. And I'll talk directly to the American people, because I'm simply one of you that came to Congress because I got fed up with everything that's happened. I mean, they're practically burning our country down. We're rapidly turning into a communist nation. The Democrats are so radical. They don't even protect American values. They don't even care about American values. So I'm here in Congress. As a matter of fact, I'm calling you from the Capitol. I just stepped off the floor from voting. And so here's the deal. Here's what happens. So many times, bills get passed by voice, meaning they bring a bill to the floor and they'll ask, who is voting yes? And one side of the room will say, yay. And then they'll say, who is voting no? And the other side of the room will say, no, depending on Republican and Democrat votes at the time. And the person sitting in the speaker chair will judge by listening who they think won the vote, the yays or the nays. And the bill will simply pass by that judgment. This is not 435 members of Congress actually voting yes or no. It's by usually maybe 10 to 20 members of Congress who are present in the chamber saying yes or no.
But hang on a second. I'm an immigrant to this country, and please forgive my ignorance. But this is, I do believe, March of the year 2021, and we are living in a nation that is the only country to have put repeatedly men on the surface of the moon, but we allow the person in the speaker's chair to make a decision as to whether the voice vote on one side of the building is louder than the other. This is insanity.
Yes, this is a nation where you can pick up your phone and it can scan your face and open. This is the nation where we have the internet. This is we're in modern times, but yeah, no, they like to pass things in secret. You want to know why? Members of Congress aren't on record for voting when bills get passed this way.
Right. So the way an individual member voted never gets revealed because it's a voice vote.
No,
so they're not responsible to their constituents. So what did you call for?
Sebastian, let me give you more examples.
Yes.
The other day I called for a roll call vote. I stopped $7.5 billion from being spent by calling it on record.
So
let me give you another example.
We need to explain this very well. So any member has the right to say, hang on, we're not doing one of these stupid voice things. We're going to have a roll call vote, and then they actually have to count the votes, correct?
Yes. When this happens, I say, Madam Speaker, I ask for the yeas and the nays. And that gives out a call to every member
Great.
Of Congress that they have to come to the floor and they have to vote and go on record. Well, this is something that members don't like. And I'm talking about it while I'm surrounded by many of them. And they don't want to be on record because they'd rather let things just pass.
So you stopped $7 billion of waste. Give us another example.
Another example is Cori Bush, the BLM congresswoman. She introduced a bill to allow prisoners, felons, to vote from prison.
Yeah.
I asked for a recorded vote on that, and we stopped it from happening. As a matter of fact, Democrats crossed the aisle and voted with Republicans, and we voted down her bill.
Wow.
These recorded votes are so important. And that's what I've been doing. They removed me from committees. I said, fine, I'll go to work and I'll go to work on the floor and I'll make the committee of the whole committee. And so I've been here putting everyone on record, and it is infuriating Democrats.
Okay.
They're fed up.
I you need to get back to work. I'm not going to keep you here for the full two segments.
Well, let me hold on. No, I do need to talk about something.
I know. And I just want to give you the timeline. So we've got four more minutes. We have to talk about what they're trying to do to you tomorrow. But what would you like to talk about, Marjorie?
Well, two things. I also introduced the strongest border security bill that's ever been introduced. It fully funds the border wall that should have been funded in 2017 at $22 billion, which is what President Trump asked for in the first place, that never got funded. If the wall is built and finished, it'll name the wall the President Donald J. Trump Border Wall. It also fully defunds sanctuary cities, which needs to be done. These things are ridiculous. They're treasonous and by the law. They should not exist. It'll also completely take away all of Joe Biden's executive orders on the border. It would reinstate President Trump's executive orders on the border and so much more. This is the strongest border security bill. I've introduced it, and I think I've really upset the Democrats. There's so much support all over the country for this bill, and so I need people to call their representatives and tell them to get on board and co-sponsor it with me.
What's the number of the bill?
The bill is 1883, H.R. 1883.
Great.
And it's called Protect America First Act. And that's exactly what we need to do. Secondly, because of my floor action and putting members of Congress on record, my refusal to back down on all the attacks on me and introducing the strongest conservative legislation in Congress. The Democrats are coming after me, and a Democrat from California named Jimmy Gomez is introducing a resolution tomorrow to have me expelled from Congress for nothing. Absolutely nothing.
How can they do that? They need a two-thirds vote, correct?
They need a two-thirds vote. Now, you got to imagine, these are the Democrats that supported Antifa BLM riots for the past year. These are the Democrats that supported and pushed the Russian collusion conspiracy lies and impeached our president, President Trump, twice. Now they're coming after me, and so I need people everywhere to support me. If you're willing to chip in $5, $10, $25, please go to Marjorie Taylor Greene, Green has an E on the end, MarjorieTaylorGreen.com, and that will truly, truly help me out.
What else? What else? Money's one thing, but what else can Americans who like your spirit and your America First attitude, how can they help you in this, to stop this attempt to remove you from Congress?
Well, the biggest thing they can do, and I'm outside now, I had to walk outside. The biggest thing that they can do is to call their rep, Republican or Democrat, and tell them they support me. Tell them, and if it's a Republican, tell them to support me. If it's a Democrat, tell them to back off and let them know, because the American people need to remember something. It's your voice that's important. You are much more powerful than this government. There's only 435 members of Congress, but there are tens of millions of Americans that if they would just call, if they would email, if they would use their voice and not just post on social media,
right.
Nobody's seeing that.
Right.
You actually have to call into the office and make your voice heard.
Just understand what is happening right now. The people who are on the side of Antifa, Black Lives Matter, who think it's fine to have an open border with hundreds of unaccompanied children being smuggled in every day and women abused and raped, they want to get rid of this woman. That's all you need to know. Stand up for America. Stand up for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Call your representative today. Put the heat to them. Email them. Write to them. Follow her at RepMTG. Go to MarjorieTaylorGreene.com. Marjorie Taylor Greene with an E on the end. This is an outrage and has to be stopped. God bless you, Congresswoman. This is America First.
I was in the chamber, unlike AOC, Representative Ocasio-Cortez, that faked her outrage with another hoax. Just another hoax that gets shared everywhere.
That's why they want to destroy her. That's why they want to expel her from Congress, because she proves that they are lying. AOC's, the police officer banged on my door. Well, you weren't even in the building, you liar. Marjorie Taylor Greene is fighting. Support her. You've got to do it. Call. Email, get in touch, write to your congressman or woman and tell them they stand, that they must stand with Marjorie Taylor Greene against the Democrats who want to expel her from Congress because she's standing up for America. Her website, Marjorie Taylor Greene with an E on the end, MarjorieTaylorGreene@eontheend.com. Unbelievable. That's the metric. That's when you know how serious the stakes are and how diabolical the left is. If you're still steaming, if you're fuming, if my monologue at the top of this show touched your heart about my parents, real refugees, not fake asylum seekers, please make a decision to do something. The easiest thing you can do is to just help these people where they are suffering right now. We can't stop the caravans. We can't build a border by ourselves. But we can help feed those children who are hungry. And maybe their parents won't hand them over to the coyotes. Wow, wouldn't that be amazing? Even if you just saved one child from the coyotes, you can do it. You can do it today with Food for the Poor. Go to my website, sebgorka.com, and make a donation in any amount today. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Click on the Food for the Poor banner. Any amount makes a difference, but $37 will feed a child that is starving for 6 months. $111 will feed three children for 6 months. Save a life. Make a difference. Call them at 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673, or just go to my website, sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Somebody we don't want to help at all, because he's a thug. He's an abuser. And he's a killer. It's Killer Cuomo. And it looks like he's losing all of his friends. Even on the left. This is what Joe Biden, sleepy creepy, said to that Democrat Hill staffer, Clinton appointee, George Snuffleupagus. Video cut one.
And you've been very clear. If the investigation confirms the claims, he's gone.
That's what I think happens. And by the way, it may very well be. There could be a criminal prosecution that is attached to it. I just don't know. But let the investigation. And I'm not. I don't know what it is. But I start with the presumption. It takes a lot of courage for a woman to come forward. Some are not. Anyway, it takes a lot of courage to come forward. So the presumption is it should be taken seriously. And it should be investigated. And that's what's underway now.
Some are not. Anyway, I mean, he's talking about women who said they've been sexually abused by this man. Some of these women are what, Sleepy? He was going to do another one. He's going to do a massive, you know, the thing there. He was, you know he was. But he wants a criminal investigation. What's Cuomo's response? What's the thug's response? Video cut two.
If you committed a crime, you can be prosecuted. That's true. But what President Biden said was we should do an investigation. The question to President Biden starts with do you think the governor should resign or do you think there should be a review first? And the president said there should be a review.
He's laughing. He's laughing. The arrogance. Now, he has a few weaknesses. Not many. But one of them is that he doesn't like science fiction. But he does like mafia movies. So that's why we are going to call in the one, the only, the Mr. G. Are you there, Jeff?
I am.
Wasn't that like an episode of The Sopranos? Like a clip? I need your analysis of the Cuomo delivery there. What did that remind you of?
It's a little bit. I'm trying to think of what Sopranos person he would actually remind me of the most, now that you bring that up. That's a good, that'd be a good question for people on the show.
But what is that, give us some words to describe his laughing at the president saying there should be a criminal investigation of me, Andrew Cuomo.
Completely arrogant, and he knows that it's not going to happen to him, so he just doesn't care.
So you think he's still the Teflon Don?
Yes.
Incredible. Incredible.
Would have happened by now.
Would have happened by now.
I think so.
All right. Amazing. Seven accusers. Not anonymous. Not some weird woman who can't remember what year she was assaulted in or which house it occurred in. Blasey Ford's complete fabrication. Seven women. Oh, by the way, what about Tara Reid? Remember her. Let's go to Fish in Utah. I don't mean let's go and Fish. Let's talk to Fish. Line four.
Mr. Gorka, thanks for taking my call.
What kind of name is Fish?
Fish Solo Bartlett, and it's a good name.
Okay. What's your suggestion, Fish?
Well, I'm a small business owner the last 19 years, and I've always said that you only have to be a genius once, and I have an idea, but I need some help. Uh-huh. It's VRBO America. If the government's not going to protect our border, we the people shall do it. So our fellow patriots buy up all the property along the southern border. We build gated communities. We police it ourselves. Every home comes with a wall, Constantine wire, claymores, HMO, pool. You pick it. We police it and buy it.
I love the juxtaposition of the claymores and the HMOs. I love that.
But I think, in all seriousness, it's a great business opportunity for contractors and builders and renters.
Yeah, you know, somebody tried that. His name is Steve Bannon, and it didn't go too well. Remember that?
No, sir.
Oh, you didn't? You didn't remember? Steve Bannon, former strategist to President Trump, got involved with a charity that was raising funds from private citizens to build a wall across the southern border. And he is now charged with a corruption charge. It's pretty specious. The man he worked with is in big trouble, but Steve was also embroiled in it. So, Fish, I like the idea. I think there is a business venture there. However, it's a little bit more complicated than private citizens buying all the land along the southern border. I think in certain areas it could be done. And what you've added to it, it's not just building a barrier. building developments. I like that. I think, you know, there are some adventurous people. It could be the new pioneers. Not go west, young man. Go south, young man. Let me think about it. Let me ponder. Let me cogitate on that one. But it does deserve a signed copy of The War for America's Soul, dedicated to none other than fish. It's different. But we can do that too. If you want to understand what it's going to take to beat the crazies, get your own signed copy at our store, sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A store.com. Defeating Jihad, Why We Fight, and The War for America's Soul. All available, and you can get them signed too. Next, we're going to have somebody who was released from prison thanks to Donald Trump. And after that, the great Monica Crowley. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
There are many, 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 many lies told about my old boss, President Trump. There are propaganda tomes, legions of them. But the other issue that is rarely addressed are the things that he did that nobody talks about. Not the lies, not the fabrications, not the Russia, 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 but the things that the mainstream media, the legacy media, the talking heads don't want to discuss. And chief amongst them is his commitment to criminal justice reform. A measure that will not be given due credit for some time until the first draft of history is written, especially when it comes to the First Step Act. Today, I am delighted to have with us somebody who was a subject, who can speak personally of the significance of that initiative. His name is Matthew Charles, and he received a 35-year sentence for a non-violent crime. Mr. Charles, welcome to America First.
All right, thank you for having me, sir.
Tell us your story. We'll talk about the criminal justice reform aspects and what happened to you in 2016, and then the threat to your liberty in 2018. But tell us if you will, your story and how you ended up incarcerated.
I was arrested in 1995 for selling crack cocaine in the state of Tennessee, which was a federal offense. That a federal offense introduced me into the federal prison system. And once I came into the federal prison system, I was sentenced to 35 years. And it was because crack cocaine at that time was being sentenced at 100-to-1 ratio.
Explain that. What does that mean, sentenced at 100-to-1 ratio?
It means that the difference between the sentence between powder cocaine and crack cocaine was that you can sell 5 grams of crack cocaine, a much smaller amount, and receive the same sentence for someone who sold powder cocaine and 500 grams of that drug.
Right. Ostensibly the same drug, but crack cocaine meant a much, much harsher sentence. So you got a 35-year prison sentence, 21 years served, and then what happened to you in 2016, Mr. Charles?
In 2016, I ended up filing a petition to the district court to have my sentence reduced because the crack cocaine ratio was being changed from 100 to 1 to 18 to 1. And in 2016, federal judge Kevin Sharp changed my sentence and released me, but the prosecutor appealed my release because it wasn't made fully retroactive, and I was ordered to return back to prison.
And then in 2018, what happened to you?
In 2018, the First Step Act passed into law was signed by President Donald Trump. And when it was signed into law, it had an amendment in it making retroactive the sentencing guideline changes where the crack cocaine was reduced to 18 to 1. And because of that, on January 3rd, 2019, I was the first person to be released under the First Step Act.
What was that feeling? Is there any way you can express in words what it meant after being released once, finding yourself back in prison, and then, thanks to President Trump's First Step Act, being liberated again? Describe that morning or that day for us.
I would say it was like a roller coaster of emotions. In 2016, when I was released, I was out for nearly 2 years. I was working, doing everything that you would want a productive member of society to do. I was working, I was volunteering my time and services, I had a church home, and I had purchased a truck. So I was doing everything right, but once the prosecutor appealed my sentence and the Court of Appeals agreed that I should be returned to prison, I was disheartened because they didn't take into account rehabilitation, which the First Step Act actually takes into accountability rehabilitation and offer incentives to people that are incarcerated to be rehabilitated. But at the time, that was not into play, so I was ordered to return back to prison. So I was greatly disheartened at it. At the same time, I went back and I was hearing about the First Step Act and the many things that it encompassed, so I was hopeful. But at the end, the First Step Act being passed, they ended up adding that amendment that made retroactive what I was being returned back to prison for. So I was like, you know, a whole roller coaster of emotions going here and there.
We have just a few seconds left. We're talking with Matthew Charles, one of the first people to be released under President Trump's First Step Act. What would you say? Do we still have work to do in justice reform, Mr. Charles?
Oh, yes, we have a whole lot of work to still be done. The First Step Act was just only the first step. It was a monumental step, but it was just a first step. So there's more that needs to be done if we want to reduce mass incarceration and make sure that people that are convicted of crimes serve appropriate sentences.
Thank you for sharing your incredible journey and for setting the record straight on President Donald J. Trump. God bless you, Mr. Charles. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist of President Trump. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Balance of nature. Do you go to the gym? Do you try and stay healthy? It's also about what you put inside of you and what you eat. Do you get enough vegetables and fruit every single day? Come on, be honest. Okay, if you don't, do what I do. Dr. Howard's Balance of Nature is absolutely superb. 6 little capsules I take every single day that give me 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Be the healthiest you can be. Order now, and Dr. Howard's going to give you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. Balanceofnature.com. Promo code Gorka. That's 800-246-8751. Balanceofnature.com. Code Gorka.
Oh, there he is. There's my guy. Good Thank job. You, How's your new show going? Good?
Very well, thank
I
you.
Heard good.
Thank you, Mr. President. I love that. I love that. He always asks, whenever he sees me, he asks me, how you doing? Asks my opinion of what he's done lately. And then he always asks about my muse, my bride, because that's just who he is. The 45th President of the United States, Donald John Trump. someone who supported him all through the hard times and is a patriot to boot is, of course, our friend Mike Lindell. Did you hear me talk about the slippers? My pillow slippers arrived. This is going to shock you, okay? I wore them out of the house today. I wore them out. They're black. They look very cool. They're a little bit kind of Gucci slippers, okay? So check them out. 25 corporations are boycotting Mike Lindell because he's a good guy, because he loves America. Please support him. Go straight to his website. Send a message to the cancel culture leftist by ordering one of his more than 100 products made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com and Mike's going to give you more than 60% off if you use my name. Send the left a message. Call 800-829-8468 to order today. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A. Somebody else who served on the inside, she saw the inside of the sausage factory, is my very good friend, even from before the days of the Donald Trump administration, former assistant secretary and spokesperson for the Treasury, Monica Crowley. It's been too long.
I said it has been too long, but I'm so happy to be back with you. And your story about President Trump made me miss him even more. How much do we miss this man?
I asked that question about 2 weeks ago, and my Twitter blew up within a day. It was like 40,000 likes. I just asked, who misses 45? And I got a very, very large and loud answer from the Americans that miss him. But he's not gone, and he will be back. Let's talk about your wheelhouse, Monica. You were right there. You were at the top of the Treasury, supporting the secretary. We need a sanity check. We need a reality check on what's happening in the economy, especially in those free states, such as Florida, such as Texas, where the economy is doing very nicely, thank you. Can you explain it to us? And who's responsible, Monica?
Yes, well, Donald J. Trump is responsible for the economic recovery that we are experiencing and that we began to experience really last May and June of last year. We started to experience unemployment numbers coming way down. We started to see economic growth at record levels, particularly in the third and fourth quarters of last year. It's definitely continuing into the first quarter of this year. And, you know, what's remarkable, Seb, is that not a lot of people know that the economic growth that we saw last year, again, particularly in third and fourth quarters, was record growth. It was the fastest economic recovery on record from any crisis. And that was a large...
We're losing you. I don't know if you're moving about, but so record growth. Continue, Monica.
The fastest economic recovery on record. And it began last year, and it was due to President Trump's common sense policies of economic growth. Tax cuts, regulatory relief, unleashing America's energy sector, and of course, fair or reciprocal trade deals. So when we came out of the pandemic in the spring of last year, those policies were still in place and they kicked back in. So what we are experiencing, Seb, is the Trump recovery. We may have a new president in office, but he has not yet moved on the economy. And I hope that he won't, because everything that President Biden talked about during the campaign, from tax hikes to re-regulating this economy to abandoning some of the common sense economic growth policies of the previous administration, if he goes down that path, all of the gains that we have seen will be erased. And not just that, we will be going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, we have to give credit where credit's due. Let me run something past you that I don't know if I discussed this with you when you were in the Treasury. I know I've discussed it on the show with at least one of our guests. And I just, you know, as the professional who's been right there in the decision-making loop, why do we measure national GDP? Why do we measure growth as a national function, especially in this completely divisive Chinese virus environment, when you look at the massive discrepancies between economic indices in states like Florida and Texas, vice Massachusetts or California, or here in D.C., which is a ghost town, which is still shut down? Wouldn't it be illustrative to the American people to demonstrate how the economies are doing in Republican states that are open for business as opposed to Democrat states that are still under the boot of their governors?
Absolutely. It would be very useful to do a state-by-state breakout of state economic growth numbers and overall economic numbers. We've always done GDP, and we should continue to do that because it's very helpful to know what the United States is putting out in terms of total output, total economic activity. So that number is important. However, for a little less than a year now, we have seen red states run by Republican governors with Republican state legislatures operate at a far higher degree than the blue states. Blue states, by and large, have continued their lockdowns, continued with very intense restrictions. And that those states, led by the biggest ones of them all, California and New York, have been huge drags overall on the national economic recovery. So, yeah, I'd like to see a state-by-state breakout. I'm not sure that we're going to get it, thanks to the Biden administration, but it would be very useful. The other thing I want to point out, Seb, is that those two states that I mentioned, California and New York, have governors who are under fire for a whole variety of reasons, not least of which is their response to the pandemic with lockdowns and very intense restrictions. Now that those governors in California are facing a recall effort and in New York facing the threat of impeachment, suddenly they have decided to open their economies.
Yeah.
So the restrictions are lifting. It's not a coincidence. And that tells us it's even more evidence that these lockdowns and restrictions were always political.
Cutting through the propaganda, getting to the truth. Former spokesperson, former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, Monica Crowley. I've got one more question to ask her at the end of the show. Follow her right now, at Monica Crowley right now. We are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Are you listening to this show right now in pain? Have you found no relief? Then you must try this 100% drug-free product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the nation, me included. Just listen to Reggie from Florida. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Shouldn't you be able to say those words? Well, there's only one way to find out. Go today to ReliefFactor.com and order the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your house in 3 days. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 days, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Reggie, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Don't wait any longer. You know it makes sense. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
I usually wrap my own show because it's my show. But there's a question left that I want to ask my friend, my former Trump administration colleague that I didn't get to. So I'm going to ask it now. Monica Crowley, working at the tippy-tip-top, that's what AOC says, top of the Treasury Department for the Secretary during the Trump administration. I get to talk about what it was like in the West Wing, what it was like in the White House, but I want you to confirm, Donald Trump was different, right? I'm sure your old boss, the Secretary, can attest to that. Give our listeners, our millions of listeners across the nation, a little bit of a flavor of what it was like working for DJT.
It was an incredible experience, really the adventure of a lifetime. And as you know, Seb, I mean, I was one of the very first people to go on national television right down after he came down that escalator and said he was going to pull the whole thing off. So for me to be able to be part of his administration was such an honor and a blessing. And every day was something new.
Talk about the speed, the rate of work that is required by people who work for Donald Trump.
It's incredible because, you know, he is a whirling dervish, and he was certainly that way as president. So you always had to bring your A game, and you were moving 1,000 miles an hour, and he was doing it and asked all of us to do it for America. It was an authentic sense of service to this great country, to bring this country back. And that's why he did it, and that's why the rest of us were all there.
And you are the person I've quoted multiple times on this show across the nation as I've been speaking, because you nailed it. The week after the election in 2016, you said, they just don't understand this man. He's not an ideological candidate. He's not an ideological actor. He is an attitudinal one. Attitude was get it done for the country because we love it. You said it back then, Monica, and you nailed it.
Thank you, Seb. And it's 100% true. And it was such a blessing to be part of such an incredible moment in history. And it's not over.
It is very, very far from over. The president is already working out of his office in Florida, not his library, not some old retired president painting pictures like Bush. No, his office of the former president. He has already endorsed multiple political candidates. He's back in the media. And his CPAC speech, if you haven't watched it, we're going to post it again right now in its entirety. They tried to scrub it. They tried to delete it. But you need to watch it because he's back. He's on form. And for 1 hour and 10 minutes, he told you everything you need to know about the radical left, the Biden-Harris or Harris-Biden administration. And he left us with a very simple message. 2024. It's not over. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Keep your head in a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.